Let's quickly take the declaration of the glory of the Lord before we take our seats and begin to study for this morning. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, quickly open your Bible to the book of Psalm number 2. We are going to read the whole of Psalm number 2 as a way of declaring the glory of the Lord. If you are there, say amen. As usual, we try to use the same version of the scriptures so our voices we rhyme with one another. That's just the reason. Okay? One, two, let's go. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you because we do take refuge in you. We do take refuge in the Son. Thank you, Lord, because we have kissed the Son. And with us, he is never angry. Rather, he is our intercessor. He is our healer. He is the one that died for us and was raised again for our justification. For that reason, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Thank you, because indeed we are in the Son. With the Son, we are in the Father. Thank you, because our lives are hid with Christ in God. Thank you, Lord, because you have made us in Christ overcomers. Thank you, Lord, because in Christ Jesus we have been reconciled with you. Thank you, Lord, because we are not aliens to the covenant of promise. Thank you, because we have been delivered from the darkness. We have been delivered from the domain of the devil. Now we are in the kingdom of this dear Son. Thank you, Lord, for liberation. Thank you, Lord, for liberty. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to walk with you. And Enoch walked with God, the Bible says. Thank you, because we are also walking with God. Thank you, Lord, we are walking with God. Amen. Everybody say, I am walking with God.
I am walking with God.
Say it again.
I am walking with God.
Say it again.
I am walking with God.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. This morning, Lord, we've come to receive instruction. We have come to receive an infusion of your Spirit. Yes, we have come for the infusion of the Spirit afresh. Our hearts are open. Therefore, we declare as follows.
The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. Is healing me in every area, and is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Please take your seats. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. And to those who are joining us remotely, good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, depending on where you are joining from. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I told you, maybe you were not sure. All right, if you are sure the Lord is good, can you say an amen?
Amen.
All right, that amen is convincing. Amen? All right, that's good. That's good. All right, let's continue teaching about the soldiers of the cross. The thing I have in mind, the thing that's in my spirit, is just to remind Christians that we enlisted for an army when we gave our lives to Christ. We are not jokers. All right, we didn't enlist for, you know, comedy skits. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, we didn't come to crack jokes. We enlisted in an army. We enlisted in an army. I was joking with my children. When was that? Yeah, yesterday evening, when we were coming for a Bible study here. So I was just talking to different ones of them. So I now said that, let me tell you which one. I said, this guy, you fit the military. I think you should join the army. That was one of my, I won't tell you which one. I said, why? Because we just analyzed. I said, you're not afraid. This guy, when he was young, don't try. If you want to flog him till he cries, you'll kill him. Because he's never going to cry. That's one of the children. So, I was just saying, I said, no. I said, this will fit you very well. So, we're describing. I said, are you afraid of heights? He said, no. You're not afraid. I know you're not afraid of depth. You can enter a hole. You know, that kind of thing. I said, you're not afraid. I was just analyzing it. So, I said, you fit the military. I talked to another one of them. No, and I said, you two. I mentioned, I'm not telling you names, so don't wonder which one of them is going to be a soldier. Then I said, this one? No. He's too stubborn. I won't tell you which one. I'm looking at all of them now. Where is the stubborn guy himself? So I said to them, I said, don't worry about that. That they will cure him of stubbornness in 1 week. Now that's where I'm going. He said he disobeyed. I said, no, it's because he's at home. He's among civilians. I said, enter the army. I said, at the end of 1 week, you will forget how to be stubborn. You will forget how to disobey. Everything you'll be saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, leave all these things. I said, it's because we're... You see, that's the point I'm trying to get to. Everybody was laughing in the car. I said, oh, this is... I said, the guy is stubborn. I said, he never joined my army. Join. At the end of the week, 1 week. 1 week. And they say, jump. How high, sir? You won't... And that's what... Look, that's why the Bible... If you see, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he used three things. All right? And all of them had to do with discipline. To depict the life of the Christian. Soldiers, athletes, and then farmers. But let's look at these first two. Soldiers and athletes. You know, maybe we don't understand it. Athletes are some of the most disciplined persons on earth. I don't mean secondary school athletes. If you watch Olympics, or you watch, you know, a world, maybe a IWAF, that's Athletics Federation event. Okay, African Cup, what's the last one we did? All African Games. Anybody you see there, is one of the most disciplined human beings you know. One of the those people are disciplined. You know why? I'll tell you. It's simply because, let's take Olympics final, 100 meters. The difference between, all this one we're shouting, he's in Bolt. He didn't used to beat people up to 1 second. 100 meters. He came first. The last person was not behind him by more than 1 second. Oh, people don't know that. That is, for you to be Usain Bolt, you are beating the next guy by 0.2 seconds. 0.3. You are beating the last guy by 0.9 seconds. These guys are not... So, listen. One day I watched where they were training... these guys that ski, those guys that do downhill ski. The training was in a wind tunnel. The guy was strapped to sensors, so he wasn't moving. The wind was just blowing hard against him, the way it would be when he's going downhill. And what were they adjusting? Somebody was there checking the air resistance he was generating, telling where to place his little finger. That is, all he was doing was adjusting his fingers, adjusting this, and they were reading it. You know, like resistance has gone up, he has to pull that finger in where his shoulders will be. It's not that really they go for party, they dance anyhow. Yeah, they can dance, but drink anyhow, no. And look, those guys who play in Europe, if you drink anyhow, the club will discipline you. Because you know how much they paid. I dropped $20 million. You think you can go anywhere you like? You're my property. It's investment we're talking about. Those guys are disciplined like military people. That's why Paul used them. He said all of this because though they didn't have gold medals, they just gave you leaf and flowers and put on your head. There were some pecs that went with it, quite all right. But they were actually fighting for vegetable plants that perished within a few days. If you like, put it in water. After some days, the thing is going down. Now, those days, they ran naked. There was no law about nakedness. You could wear your clothes. It's just that every
bit of fabric on your body reduces your chances of winning. These days, they don't run naked anymore because they have materials that's as good as being naked. So those clothes they have on their body, it wipes out every form of air resistance. They are disciplined. Why? They just want to gain 0.2 of a second, if it's 100 meters, above the next guy. That's what they need. That's all. If you check this, I watched a clip of this last one that, Nigeria played a lot of medals in the African stuff, all right? The 4x100 meters men finals. That Nigerian guy managed to win for one reason. He had enough presence of mind to thrust his head forward. So he fell. As soon as he thrust, he tried to balance and said, no, he went down. The guy who did the third lap, so they were looking, they didn't know whether they won or not. So they stood. They were just waiting for the display. Display just popped up, Nigeria, and gave their time. That was when they started rejoicing. Because they beat the next guy by less than it wasn't up to 0.1 seconds. I watched it. I think what happened, he just had the presence of mind to throw his head forward. In that process, he lost his balance and fell. But he had crossed the line. Athletes. So Paul said, look, athletes, they are doing all of these things to get something that is perishable. Soldiers, those ones, their owner, how do I put it like this? I think their own is worse than athletes. It's more stringent. Because their life is in danger. Your life is in danger. You can't run. I told a story here. This one's because it's somebody that I know a bit. You know, I know a very close relative of his. Who, when they attacked them, the man that's assisting, a sergeant, put his back and blocked the bullet so that Oga could get away. And he told, sir, please run. Run. And he stood between him and the people firing. And they kept shooting. Sir, please run. His boss, a colonel, managed to get away. Of course, he was using his body to block bullets. So you know what happened to him. That is soldier's discipline. As I told my little boy, they said, hey, you're stubborn. I said, leave that. It's amongst your friends that you are stubborn. When you enter military 1 week, when you see stubborn, they say, do I know you? You can't. What are you talking about? And Paul said, that is how, I like the way the Red Prince said it. He said, nobody joins the army on the condition that you will not get killed. He said, in fact, when you join, you kind of have signed up for the fact that you might die in the process. I'm talking about the seriousness of Christianity. That's what we are dealing with. In the military, a command is like the word of God. When they give instructions, it's like God has spoken. You keep it to the letter. It's not whether you agree with it or not. It is that the person in power issued it. That is why when you refuse, especially when the group of you refuse, you've committed a death sentence offense. It's called mutiny. You don't turn against others. That's what? And that is the life of Christianity, but I think people don't seem to get it. That's where I'm going. We don't seem to get it. It shows in everything. Look, we don't get it. When I was in school those days, I attended a fellowship for a while. Deeper Life, I can tell you. All right? There's something I found among Deeper Life people. I never found in any other fellowship till today. In fact, you know the funny thing? The fellowship where, you know, there was some fellowship I attended where it was the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit. You know what I found out? Most people who are moving by the Spirit, who claim, yes, that's a better word, who claim to be moving by the Spirit, they are some of the most indisciplined creatures I know. Even goats behave better than them sometimes. You will tell them. Now, let me go back to my Deeper Life guys. Our fellowship was 7:30. I attended that fellowship for about a semester, my first year. It was 7:30. I used to come maybe around 7:28 because that's what everybody did. I mean, they were all on time. And I can assure you, by that 7:30, 95% of the fellowship was seated. We're seated. okay, if I, let me not sound a bit too outlandish, okay? At least 90% were seated. I never saw any set of students more disciplined. They were as disciplined as they were going for exams. But my move by the Spirit, brethren, they will announce to me that fellowship is at 8 p.m. If they have started by 10, you will praise God. And please, that's not exaggerating. No. That's literal. What I told you is exactly what I saw. It was one reason I couldn't endure with them. I enjoyed the move of the Spirit. They added that spice to the things I learned here and there. I started learning things in secondary school. So they added that one to it, and I enjoyed it. But I said, these people, with a man who's been going to deeper life for like a whole semester, I don't know how to handle you people. One day I was going to fellowship. Yeah, my deep one, all right? So one of these Spirit people saw me on the way. Ah, I said, they have a program. Am I going to come? I said, yeah, well, I'd love to come, but today's my regular fellowship. So when is my fellowship? I told him 7:30. Okay? That will normally finish by 9:30. It's okay that when I finish, I'm up to it. I can still come and join them. I said, okay, no problem. So I finished my fellowship at 9:30 and walked over to their place. I've gone there maybe around to 10. These buggers had not started. They were still I was looking like these people. I sat with them and we worshipped and prophesied and fell under the power and rose under the power. And my children, we had all kind of prophecies till like 1 a.m. Yes. I watched these guys. I said, this is not the way forward. I thank God for the Spirit in your life. But you know the funny thing? Till today. See, don't trivialize those things. As of today, they are still like that. Especially that the indiscipline has spread to moral side, financial side, every part. I've told you, you've heard me before, my wife knows, I don't like people who move by the Spirit. If I'm talking to you, oh, you raise your head and start seeing heaven, I just walk away. Say, you are not serious. Also, Chambers used to teach us that after they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, they came back to normal life. I don't know what I get. That Peter and wanted to hang there. Jesus said, come, let's go and live life normally. But you are not going to live life in view of what you saw on the Mount. Look, I'm being honest with you in case you are my friend so that we'll not have quarrels. Okay? If we talk 10 times, all right? And 3 times out of 10, I said, the Lord now said to me, just know I don't like you. I'm not telling you, but I don't like you. And I don't trust you. I'm being honest. I'm putting it on record so that when you come near me, don't do it. Don't try this spirituality with me. It gets on my nerves. I distrust you. Because I found out people like you, they do what they want and blame God for it. That's what you will do. You do what you want. Say, my spirit said, your spirit is your spirit, it's not God. And don't be deceived by this teaching that says that if it's coming from your spirit, it's pure. It's not true. Paul told us clearly, your spirit can be defiled. And that's why I wrote the book, Guided by the Spirit, to show that you need to purify your spirit. Don't say because you're a Christian, your spirit is just good. So anything that comes out of it is right. It's not, it's true. It's absolutely false. It comes from the deep part of you. It just means it's the deep part of you. You. Emphasis on you. Not God. He said, you know, if God is your spirit, the spirit of God is in your spirit, so is the spirit of the world in your spirit if you don't drive it out. So is Satan. When I say, get behind me, Satan, you think Satan was in his mouth? Satan went to the bowels of Peter and spoke from there. How do I know? Peter spoke of the depth of his passion. And Jesus said, you are speaking for Satan. That's the voice of Satan I just heard from your mouth. Let's get it clear. If everything you're telling me, my spirit said, God said to me, I'm just looking at you like, this guy never serious. And in case you don't know, I don't believe a word of your God said to me. I don't. I am being honest with you. I don't. As a man, what does spirituality mean? Is what you will say and I'll be impressed. The word of the Lord said, I read my scriptures. Paul was saying, this was what David taught us in the Psalms. According to 1 Thessalonians, Genesis chapter 16, you don't have to give me the exact reference, I'm just giving an idea. Moses said, when God spoke to Moses, he said, because those prophets that wrote your scriptures, they were not hearing their spirit, where you are hearing your spirit. When they said, the voice of the Lord came to me, they heard a conversation. Moses, God will drag a chair, Moses sit here, let me sit here, let's begin to talk. What's going on? What are the Israelites doing to you now? Now say to them, this is what I said. You know the way it was? The whole of Israel at a point in time heard that voice. But it was so terrifying, they ran away. And Moses entered into the fire, into the flame, into the mountain, and went and stood before God. And God gave him instructions for them. Don't come and pray, pray, pray. Your spirit is silent. And something comes. God said, bro, let me tell you something. I've been there. I have seen people do it. I have seen the confusion. There was a time some people said, okay, they are they praying, pray. They invited my wife. I called my wife. I begged, please come. Okay. Sit down. Because they had given a testimony. Ah, revelation, 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 revelation. My wife was telling me, ah, this will happen. I'm just looking at all of them. Today she don't dress. So my husband, I want to go. I just said, yeah, let's just talk now. You go tomorrow now. Tomorrow she was ready. She wanted to go. Now I said, okay, sit down. She sat. I said, you know me, right? Of course she does. But I never have been married for nothing less than, I think, Benga had even been born. It's probably a number of times, some years. Or even of men herself. I said, you know anything that was good for you spiritually? I'll be the first to encourage you. She said, yes. I said, so I'm asking you, don't go for these meetings. Please don't. She was surprised. Eh? I said, please, I'm asking you, please don't. Why? They prophesied too much. Sit down. So she saw her friend that was inviting her. That was her. He didn't come. He said, we'll talk later. So that one came back and said, is it your husband? And she said, yes. Oh, and I wanted to tell you not to tell him. That was the confirmation my wife needed that my husband was right. You know my husband. He's a preacher. You wanted to tell me not to tell my husband. I want to go and hear from you people that is the meeting. So it's obvious you're not speaking by the right. My wife, that was the confirmation. The moment the lady said it, now my man said, oh, you wanted me to hide that I'm coming from my husband that you know. So in that case, he was right. And of course, after a while, all the prophesying ended. Half of the prophecies not true. Why didn't I want her to go? I wasn't going to play with. Don't play with my girl's mind, please. Don't toss her mind until I'll be talking. She won't know who to believe. She will read the Bible, but a prophecy has said something. Then I will speak. She won't even know which one. Not tear her mind in pieces. I told her simply, okay, this is how we do this thing. We take our lives and establish it on the word of God. That is true spirituality. Start with one brother once. Very important issue we need to discuss. As I was speaking, the Lord said to me, I told him, please, can you stop? I told him. I said, because if you say that again, this conversation is over. I said, I will not be able to tell you anything. So please, just drop this God said to you and let me talk to you like an elder. Let me talk to you like somebody who loves you, who understands the scriptures, and will help you make the right choices for your life. Let me talk to you. Don't tell me God said to you. I say, Pastor Mike, people shouldn't hear God. The way they are doing it now, they shouldn't bother. Because the confusion in their souls, too plenty. Please, let me say another thing. You understand. You can't force God to speak. If every time you go, he speaks, before you come back, you are being confused. You cannot force him to speak. And one major reason that he doesn't like to do it. Why? He said, oh boy, come here. You don't have a Bible? That's what God is telling you. Some of you, if I you that I'm talking to this morning, you know yourself, because this is not my message. I will still get to the main thing. You know what God is saying to you? So you don't have a Bible. You don't have a Bible, Abby. You don't go to church. They don't do Bible study where you go. That's what God is asking you. They don't. So you don't have a pastor that teaches the word of God? What is your own device for? I gave you an expensive phone, and you're always on TikTok. And you're wondering why your life is going up and down. It's called TikTok. TikTok. That's why your life is going up and down. It's called TikTok. Look, one of the things we learn in this modern life is how to filter where you stumble into. The web is full of, when they call it information superhighway, everything is up there. You have to learn how to navigate. Navigating that place is an experience. So God gave you his device. Please, use it to feed yourself spiritually. Use it for good information. That's what I'm talking about. I wrote a teaching, short teaching some time ago, which I titled them, Own That Decision. Why? Listen, what I was trying to address there is this. Anytime people want to do something, they say, God said, They want to throw it on God. People have actually said, look, I know a brother, he went to meet his sister. He wanted to marry her. Hey, by the way, if a man comes to tell you that, my advice to you is that you just tell him no. That you don't want to marry him. What I'm about to tell you. He told his sister that, look, he's coming because the Lord said he should go. Not because he is so keen on these things. Yeah. You don't want to humble yourself to tell a girl you like her. You say it's just because of God. Because if, you know, I don't have time for these things like this. You know, we are so busy preaching. Yes. He took his own to that extent that, look, it's just because of God. You know, God spoke to him. Just tell him, bro, I thank God for speaking to you. Two cannot work together except they are agreed. So please, can you tell him to try and speak to me too? So I'm going. Because maybe I'm so interested in you. You know, I just look at you. You don't feel like somebody should marry. But, you know, maybe God, I'm telling you, that maybe God will also speak to me and override my decision. Are you saying God doesn't speak to people on who to marry? He does. But bro, if you are the one they told, when you get there, stop saying that. Own the decision. The decision has now become your own. I like the testimony of the Reverend Prince in that one. When they married, and after his first wife passed on, I mean, she was in her 80s when she died. So when he was going to remarry a few years later, both wives he married, it was clear revelation. Clear. That is, the revelation was clear. That second one, he had a vision. And he saw the lady wearing a particular dress. I think maybe they were walking together or something. He had a vision. Either a dream or a vision. And this woman, he had only met her once. So he felt it quite embarrassing. Like, ah. And he wasn't a young man. All right? He wasn't a young man. I'm like, what kind of thing is this one? How will I go and tell a woman that I'm just meeting? And he told God clearly, I don't even like her. That is like, not I dislike her, but I just seen her once. I think she passed a note to him just to thank him for his ministry, something like that. So we just met in a particular meeting, he greeted her. And next thing was having visions and revelations. So he said clearly, God, this is a hard one. You want me to marry somebody I don't know, I don't even like, I have no attraction for nothing. But you see where I'm going. He didn't go and tell her that. He just left the matter and was observing. Because she walked in, I think, their ministry office in Israel or something like that. But it was a ministry organization. So they had some dealing with. So one day, she asked to speak with him about some things. So he accepted that she could come and see him. So he was sitting on the desk when she came in. And then she asked that whether she could sit on the floor because she had a back problem, which made it difficult for her to sit on a normal chair. So she requested whether she could sit on the floor so she could lean against the wall. So the man said, no problem. So she went and sat down. And he was sitting on the desk. He said, after she done, he turned to look at her. You know, just somebody wants to talk to you, so you turn. All right? Like, said, the moment he turned, he just saw, I think she was wearing the dress. Now, please, you can confirm this. I think she was wearing the dress he saw in that vision. Are you getting my point? And that just, he didn't see the dress before. This was the first time he was seeing the dress after the vision. She was wearing that dress. So that confirms that this is God speaking to him. But this is where I'm going with the whole gist. He said, at that point, it's as if somebody took a container of love and poured it, and it just entered into him. Suddenly, he fell in love with the woman. Suddenly, he loved her from the bottom of his heart. Now, this is where I'm going. He didn't go to meet her and say, I'm not interested in you. What's my own? After my other wife, I'm still thinking of her. She died a few years ago. The thoughts of her is in my mind. But God now says I should move ahead. That's why I've come to you. If they don't stone you, just know that the people are disciplined. But why I tell the whole story is because God did not leave it to his decision. He brought him into his will. Do you get my point? God brought him into his will. By the time he was approaching the woman, please marry me, he wanted to marry her. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, it was initiated by God, but he wanted to do it. So before you go and harass somebody that God said I should come, go and sit with God until you want to go. I don't know whether I get my point. If you go to the cross grudgingly, when they beat you, you run. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It says the will of God, we are going to this cross. It's the will of God, we are going to this cross. In front of Pilate is when you change your mind. That this cross, the Lord said to me, it shall pass thee by. My son, I have granted thee thy request. This cross shall pass thee by. You will run. When you run in your heart, you know what happened? Choose between Barabbas and Jesus. You just hear Jesus. Pilate will hear Jesus and release you. And you go to church and give testimony. Praise God. They were about to crucify me. But the Heavenly Father came through. He's a God of the last moment. You will not be crucified. You'll be preaching. You will not be crucified. Why? Because you ran away in your heart. So what Jesus did? He stayed in the garden. Listen to this. Until he wanted to go. Did you hear what I said? He prayed until the cross became his own desire. Before that, it was God any other way. Not my will, but yours be done. He came out, it was just the will of the Father, not his own will. So he went back inside. Until your will becomes the will of God. And the will of God becomes what you desire. You're not ready to move. Fact, you are not ready to move. You are not ready to move. If God wants you to go somewhere, stop telling us God said go. Stay with him until you want to go. Then when you now come and say, guys, let's go. So why are you going there? Man, it should be good. Trust me. I've prayed about it. It's going to be a good journey. Own the decision. Own the decision. Stop trying to harass us with God said, God said, God said. And one thing I found out by many people tell me God said is that they are so, unreasonable. When I say unreasonable now, even spiritual reason. And listen to me. Spiritual reasoning does not mean you must oppose rationality. Now, what I mean is this. Many times, spiritual reasoning opposes rationality. I hope you get my point. But it's not as if the sign of spirituality is opposition to rationality. Do you get my point? Some people think they are spiritual because they always oppose everything that's rational. No, it's not so. Most decisions that Jesus made were rational. Now, please let me emphasize it. The difference between a Christian, a spiritual person, is his or her rationality. How you build, what is your rationality based upon? Do you follow what I'm saying? For example, okay, this thought is in my mind, so let me use it as an illustration. One brother was speaking one day when in church. He was talking about why you need to hide some money from your wife. That day, and so they pinched my chest as he was persuading me. You see, my father, and he came to his father said, and as I was saying, I was looking at him like, maybe you don't get the point, I don't listen to your father. I listen to our Heavenly Father. So everything he said was rational according to his father. But what I'd finished, actually I preached that day, yeah. But what I said was rational according to scriptures. Do you get my point? So my rationality was built on the foundation of the word of God, which had become what? Normal to me. Why? Because for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. So that concept is foundational for the decisions or the operating system upon which I'm now building my applications. So when I'm making the decision, it's rational. This is where I'm going. If the Spirit speaks to you and is a bit irrational to the common person, it should not be irrational to somebody grounded on the Word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people, they pride themselves in that nobody understands them. They are irrational to everybody. If you are spiritual and you want to make a spiritual decision, it will be rational to spiritual persons. That's why the Bible says you compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So is this rational? It's not rational. You talk to spiritual people. I have it as a problem. When people use the Spirit to do what I consider irrational, having reasoned with scriptures all these years, and they are much younger than I am, and I wonder, is there something you know I don't know? There has to be. Don't tell me that your Spirit said. Before you can persuade me on some things, you need to have a depth of revelation that cannot be argued with. Not the one you got off from and your Spirit said to you. and I'm older than you are. I have worked with God for longer than you have worked. I preach this word. I've taught multitude this word. And you are saying something, and to me it is irrational, and you're not concerned. That's another thing. You should have been concerned. You should have gone back home to go and pray some more. No, I think you should go back home to go and pray some more. The real spirituality is basing your reasoning. Now, the point I'm making is that you don't get impressed that you are spiritual because you are irrational. And you just, you know, just wake up in the morning, bam, do something. I came to your house this morning. You were not there. The spirit said I should get up by 5 a.m. So where did you go? You've driven around Enugu twice. And you are back home. What did the spirit say? Then I come tomorrow. I come at 10. You have not gone to work. And your work starts by 8. What are you doing here? The spirit said I shouldn't go out yet. You know, after a while, as a matter of fact, it becomes arguable that your head is not correct. You are not normal. You are not normal. Irrationality and spirituality are not the same things. A lot of irrational people are hiding behind spirituality. And it's not right. It will shock many people to know that Jesus had regular meetings with dates and times, and people knew where to find him. We didn't just wake up in the morning and say, Peter, last night the father said, up to the hills. No. Every day of his life was not recorded for us. Just a few things John said were recorded so that we will believe. So they recorded miraculous things a lot about the life of Jesus, but his normal life was typically a normal life. So you hear that he called them two by two and sent them out. They had an itinerary planned. He sent them out two by two to all the towns and villages that he was planning to come to. He had a plan. He followed his plan most times. He knew where he was going next. He could tell John, all right, by next month, we should reach Bethsaida. I plan to spend 2 days here and 3 days here. So two of them could go ahead and prepare and tell everybody the master is coming so and so time. I know I got into that, but why I'm staying on it is what I don't know. What is true spirituality? Let me emphasize it again. People of God, is to settle down and build your reasoning on scriptures. And use everything, that is, every part of your life, you reprogram it according to the word of God. So your decisions are based on scriptures. Then occasionally, the Holy Spirit will go beyond that which you understand and use a special manifestation to lead you. And even then, listen to this, even then, the decision is very unlikely to be irrational to spiritual people. After all, what does God want to do in your life that he has not done before? That we have not seen. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Well, what is it now that we have not seen? And many times you come and tell us things. They will just tell you that this was what confused this guy 22 years ago. We'll just give it to you. Hey, wait. These words you have just spoken now is exactly what this person said. And this was where he ended. Go back and pray. When you tell me, is that my spirit that is really my problem? Please don't be deceived with your spirit. It's not the spirit of God. Your spirit and the spirit of God are two totally different spirits. The spirit of God can never be confused. The spirit of God can never be polluted. The spirit of God can never be defiled. But your spirit can be confused. It can be polluted. It can be defiled. How do I know that? The scriptures. If you believe the inspired word of God from the writings of Paul, you will agree what I'm saying. Because he said you need to cleanse yourself of all defilement of spirit. I hope you're getting my point. Now, when it's all of that, then they say something. I found a lot of spiritual people, spiritual in that context now, unreliable, undependable, and indisciplined people, and they hide all of this behind spirituality. That's why I begat all of that. I was telling the story about how I went to fellowship on campus, and they were very spiritual, and they are very indisciplined. And years later, I don't think they've changed. Because a bad thing is just a bad thing. I hope you get my point. A bad thing is just a bad thing. And that's why I keep on saying, please, don't let them mislead you with all these lying doctrines they preach. As if God does not punish sin if the sin was done by a Christian. In case you did not know, that is when the punishment is stronger. Because the law of God is that to whom much is given, much is required, much is expected. Please, let nobody deceive you that Ananias was not a Christian and his wife was not a Christian. That's why God came upon them mightily with a judgmental arm like that. No, it's not true. Look, it's possible for believers to listen to the devil. That's why there is forgiveness of sins in confession. That is where there's a process of cleansing yourself. It is very possible those two people were deceived by Satan. And because of the holiness, the purity in the church at that time, they died. Listen, that was what killed them. Nobody inside that place ever lied. Everybody there told the truth, especially Peter and his crew. Peter and the 11 did not know how to lie. I mean, think about it. When Nathaniel is in your group, where you want lie from? You remember Nathaniel? A true Israelite indeed. They were not used to lying. They took everything on the surface. The way you said it, they took it. And one guy decided to take advantage of that. And God said, no, not here. No, not here. If Peter was lying, they would have survived. If Peter was a liar. If half of his messages were dictated by the need of the ministry, they would have survived. If Peter came this morning and said, God said to me that there is a special blessing for the people that will give their house when God said nothing like that. Ananias will go, sell the house, keep half of it, and give Peter the balance. And he will survive. Why? Peter is a liar. Ananias, therefore, is allowed to lie. His wife will leave. In fact, not only will they lie, they will be promoted. These are the people supporting this ministry. We'll move them forward. Why? James lied too. And Nathaniel doesn't come to that church anymore. See, if you see everybody, if the leadership of a church is pure, they don't lie, they don't do anything. Liars and thieves will not survive for long there. They won't survive for long. They won't survive for long. The purity emanating from the leaders will affect the congregation. And we just killed people. In fact, they were first run away by themselves. So why did Ananias and Sapphira die? No, that's not the gist. The gist is that they were Christians, so don't be deceived. And if you continue your orokurokros ways, you know what that means? Some of you don't speak wide enough English. Let me broaden your vocabulary. If you continue your ways of orokuroko, so we want to put an adjective. Is it an adjective? We want to adjectivize that noun. Orokuroko is a noun. All right? Don't worry. It will enter the lexicon in the next 15 years. Don't worry. Just use it enough. So if you continue your orokuroko ways, you will die like an IS one day. Because you will go and enter a church where the pastor doesn't lie. And that's it. You will collapse. Please don't believe that gospel that says that grace means that God does not punish people. It's not true. Again, why did I go into that? Because I want to let us know that we should be disciplined people. Christianity, when we became believers, we enlisted into the Lord's army. And soldiers are meant to be disciplined. We are going for a particular prize also with God. And for that reason, we also must be disciplined like athletes. Very important. All right, let's open our Bibles, all right? Pick it up from where we were last time, which is from the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Revelation 17. Let me see where I'll start from. Let's just start from verse 8. Again, we will jump here and there till we get to the real thing we want, which is verse 14. Just to get context to our teaching. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss, John was told, and then go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not,
and will come. That is, as if he rose again. Now, he was talking about that beast. Let me just continue verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Of these seven kings, five have fallen. One currently is, and the other has not yet come. Verse 12. Go to verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings. Please notice that. They receive what? Authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. That's their purpose. There's a lesson for Christians here. Because we go to verse 14, he says, these will wage war against the lamb. That is, they are serving the purpose of the beast. They will wage war against the lamb. But the lamb will overcome them. And the reason is because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. I said it last time, I will say it again. God is in the business of taking over kingdoms. He's in the business of taking over nations. He's in the business of taking over lands. Now, how do I know that? He said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. That's what he says. There's going to be an increase in the authority of God. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to where? To the ends of the earth. That's it. He's not going there to go and play. There's a reason why the gospel is being preached to the ends of the earth. Because the ends of the earth must come under the authority of the Son. I hope you're getting my point. One thing that there are very few religions on this earth that actually have this evangelistic mindset. There are very few. The three I can easily tell you is Christianity, number one. Islam has it, number two. And then atheism has it. That's the third one I found out. Hindus are not really trying to make the rest of you Hindus. They don't care. Buddhists are not trying to make the rest of you Buddhists. They really are not interested. Most people that you see around, they just, like Jews certainly are not interested in you. They don't, you have to be born a Jew. That's the way they are. If your father is not, and your mother, they are not raised to Judaism, they're not interested in you. You can come to, you know, Enugu and say that we are the lost sheep of the lost tribes of Israel, and then Chuku Kike will carry all of you to... Fine, that's your problem. You can decide that you are a freedom fighter and you want to be wearing a Jewish skull and a skull cap, and that's your... But the Jewish man really doesn't care. He's not interested in expanding Judaism through evangelism, through lectures, through persuading people. He's not interested. He's okay the way he is. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean by this. You can also use the word apostolic. That's actually better. But this apostolic mindset. Very few people have it on earth. You'll notice I was careful to include atheism. Because atheism is a religion. Let nobody deceive you that they are not a religion. They try and pretend that they don't believe anything. It's not possible in this life not to believe anything. It's what you believe that's the issue. So atheists try to, they believe that your God is not the true God. That's all. They say there's no God. No. That there's no God is a spirit. There's a demon called there's no God. That is what they worship. Please take my word for it. Some of them don't know, but the real people inside, they know. Because you can't believe such a lie and not be empowered by a spirit. No, you can't. You can't. The evidence for creation, that we came in by design, that this earth exists by design, is too strong. It needs a spiritual force to close your mind boldly against it. So that's why I say it, that atheism is a religion. I say it with boldness. And my reason is that they said, look, that we speak by faith. I said, no, if it's faith, the way you are describing faith, your own faith is greater than mine.
I look at the complexity of life and I say, somebody did this. Why? It's too complex. The laws of thermodynamics should have made it impossible. All right? So let's stick with our job as believers in Christ Jesus. Our Lord has an instruction out for us. He has an agenda. The earth must come, the whole earth, all the nations. The plan is to take them over with the gospel of God. The plan, Paul called it that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. That is, Jesus did the main work, but he did not conquer the earth. So Paul said, each one of us must do our share in that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. That's how he said it. Say, my body, I'm doing what? My share. Now, listen to this. It's like, how do I illustrate this? An architect, which is what God is. Every house is built by someone. All right? Now, God designs a perfect house. Perfect. Can solve all the problems of mankind. Then he gave it to us. He gave us all the resources necessary. He gave us everything. If we build that house, accommodation will never be a problem again. The hurricanes, wind, the destroy houses will never be a problem again. There will no problem with power failure. There will be water. There will be food and everything. He designed it perfectly. And he gave it to us. And with all the resources on ground for building it. That's what Christianity is. Paul said, each of us therefore must now do our share. Each person must do his share in bringing that building into reality. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, that each person must. Paul said, what's my own portion of it? My portion is to go around preaching the gospel. Now, let me quickly say this. Each person has a preordained assignment to do in building that house on the earth for God. Each person has. Nobody was born with no purpose in mind concerning the construction of this building I've just spoken about, which is the kingdom of God on the earth. This kingdom must advance. You remember the prophecy? Let's just look at that. The prophecy of Daniel. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar, actually. Let me not call it the prophecy of Daniel. It's the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. I think that would be a better way to describe it. That's Daniel chapter 2. Now, time's sake, I will not read the whole thing. Please notice something. I'm looking for... I just want to read the... Yeah, good. Verse 35. Well, let's back up a bit and read from verse 32. It said, the head of that statue was made of gold, the breasts and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Was said to Nebuchadnezzar that you continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and he struck the statue on his feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, now notice this, the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time. That tells you something. Each of those kingdoms will exist until this one happens. All right? It's not as if the... Of course, you know the story. Let's just talk about it for a moment before I get to my main point. The head of gold was what? Was Babylon. Then after that, the chest of silver was what? The Medes and the Persians. Then the belly that was made of, what was the belly made of? Bronze. But belly and thighs of bronze was what? The Greek, you know, empire. And then after that, the iron... The feet of, the legs of iron, that's the Romans, okay? And then afterward, well, the mixture of iron and clay for the feet, different interpretations, Europe of today and all of that, okay? But you see, different kingdoms were going to come, but each one will be dominant at a particular point in time. But you see, notice the last portion of it. At the end of it, verse 34, you continue looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on his feet of iron and clay, and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver,
and the gold, can you see? All the kingdoms before that were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled Jerusalem. No, look at it now. Where did it fill? Answer me. Filled Nigeria. It filled Enugu alone. The stone filled the whole earth. It filled Babylon, where Babylon was. It filled the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Filled the Greek Empire. Filled the Rome, because these are empires. They had extensions all over the place. It filled the kingdoms of the, because I believe part of the clay and what do you call it? The mixture included things like the French colonial, you know, rule. The British one that went as far as India and all of that. All of that, those ones came under the mixture of feats of iron and clay. All of them will be crushed by that stone, and every place they occupied will be occupied by the great mountain that fills the whole earth. That's God's plan. Not a bit of this earth will be spared. And listen, let me tell you, no matter who's holding, see, sometimes you talk about maybe Islam is holding this place and all of that. Relax. What did I say?
Relax.
What did I say?
Relax.
You didn't say the way I said it too.
Relax.
Okay, maybe not everybody is saying it.
Relax.
Because you see, I don't know, many of you are not old enough, but a few people here are old enough to have witnessed the strength of communism. Go and read God Smuggler by Brother Andrew. You see a kingdom that was so strong, both physically and spiritually. There was as if the gospel couldn't penetrate it. Let me tell you something about that time. The gospel needed to be carried on paper. That the Bible, needed to carry the Bible, it had to be on paper. Brother Andrew made his, in quote, the fame in Christianity, not wealth. I'm talking about the name that we know him for. Because he smuggled Bibles. He wasn't really preaching. He used to preach. He was a missionary. But the main thing he did was to smuggle Bibles. One day God gave him enough money to buy a house. And his wife, you know, treated the house very nicely. Twisted it up for herself. And then one day Brother Andrew found out that he could almost triple the amount of Bibles he carried. Because somebody showed him, he saw a small Bible somewhere. And he found that he could order the Bible, but he needed a lot of money. So you know what he did? He sold the house. So they could order Bibles, tiny Bibles. Because before, you know, the Bibles were big. Now this one was small. It's a fine print. Wow. He had a lot of miracles in carrying Bibles all over the place. So he used to hide the Bible inside his vehicle and drive into the communist nations. At the border, when he's about to approach the checkpoint, they would check the vehicle and find everything. So he had Bibles hidden everywhere. So he decided that no, there's no need, that these guys will find the Bible anyway. So he said, God, please, you can open the eyes of the blind. So if you can do that, I'm sure you can easily blind the eyes of those who can see. It was a simple prayer he prayed. So you know what he did? He dug out his Bibles and put them on the seat so that they can see it if they want to see it. So he drove up there. And the guard came, opened the vehicle. In fact, there was one particular one that they offloaded all his Bibles, set the whole vehicle, then loaded it back until he could go. Please go and get the book, God Smuggler, Brother Andrew. That they brought out all the Bibles, laid it down, and checked the vehicle properly. Then loaded the Bibles back and told him to go. That particular one I'm referring to, the man tried to open his door. The door hit the man in the leg. The man got angry, closed the door back and told him to drive off. He had all kinds of manifestations. There was a day they wanted to exchange Bibles. I think some of his guys, he had some co-workers. If I say he had this guy, I think he's an American or something. One guy that came to work with him, that one was a criminal. Where Brother Andrew won't put Bible, the guy will put it there. So they finished loading the car, let's go. Said the guy will arrive with a box. Like, what are you doing? The guy said, don't worry, I'll put it on my leg. Why?
Say, look, if they are going to catch us, let them just catch us complete. You can't just do small crime. Do the whole crime. Even Brother Andrew was tired of the guy. He said, well, the guy carried everything. And that's what the tracts, you know, little books, Bibles, everywhere. That was what he did. But there was some, I like small gist. There was one guy, that guy wanted to be like Brother Andrew. So he carried the Bible, reached the border. He didn't have the anointing. So they seized his Bibles. But Brother Andrew said that God was working in different ways. Because as they were seizing the Bible and interrogating him, a businessman, a communist businessman, drove up and asked the customs guys, what's going on? They said, this guy is smuggling Bible. Ah, he called them to the side. He negotiated with them. You get the gist? Bought the whole Bible. Put his own vehicle and drove off. So those ones allowed the missionary to go. So Brother Andrew said, look at it. Whether you like it or not, what's that man planning to do? Sell the Bibles inside that country. So to them, the job has been done. Don't worry, Christians will find money to buy it. Now, why am I saying all of this? You will not realize it. Those are some of the ways by which God was sowing the seeds for the downfall of communism. Oh, you come out and say, okay, Saudi Arabia is a strong place. Iran is strong. Pakistan. God said, here you know. I don't need to carry Bible on paper there. Are you not getting it?
Yes, sir.
The modern day Roman road. There's no household in any country of the world, whether it's Pakistan, Iran, or Saudi Arabia, or Egypt, that doesn't have a Bible, if they want one. We don't need missionaries smuggling Bibles now. Unless people want to live in the dark ages and not have a smartphone, you know that Bibles are now everywhere. As of today, who can give me the information on how much of YouVersion has been downloaded in the world? 250 million was in 2016. That's almost 10 years ago. Now, as at now, they have, as at 2021, over 500 million. We're in 2024. I can assure you, by now they've crossed 1 billion. YouVersion had been, just YouVersion, you know, there are so many other ones. YouVersion has been downloaded over 500 million times as at 3 years ago. As at now, I'm sure it's crawling to 1 billion downloads all over the world. And I hope you know that that's the main app itself. The versions we're not even counting. Like the version of the Bible. A typical person has maybe 10. They have hundreds of versions for you to pick randomly from in different languages. Now, where I'm going with all that talk, okay, is that the fact that if God could use paper Bibles to bring down communism, and how many Bibles were there? Now, there's no longer a restriction on the spread of the Bible. That restriction is not possible. There's no technology on this earth that you can use to restrict the distribution of the Bible. Even those of us that we can carry paper Bible, do we carry it? If the imam of the central mosque in Saudi Arabia wants a Bible, in fact, let me assure you, he has one. I know how easy it is to share. So what am I trying to say? There's no stronghold on this earth that Jesus is not bringing down. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
There is absolutely no stronghold on this earth that Jesus is not bringing down. And listen, let me say something to you about technology in case you do not know it. Technology is not a game of chance. Technology is dictated by what God wants to do. I was discussing, where was I? Was it in my office? They said, just imagine if the time of Jesus, there were mobile phones and there were this. I said, there was no mobile phone and portable cameras, because God didn't want it. Because God, he was setting up the stage for worship. So he wanted us to worship properly. So you are going to worship according to reports. Who has heard our report? That's the way it goes. You are not going to worship images. God doesn't like images. He doesn't like photographs. He doesn't. So he ensured that there were no cameras when Jesus came. He delayed the advance of technology concerning cameras and stuff like that until we'll have gone. It was deliberate. It wasn't a game of chance. So I don't want pictures of him. All the pictures of Jesus around now, it's an actor. You watch Jesus of Nazareth, you say, Jesus, I don't look like that. I don't recognize that guy. Yeah. It was important to God that, listen, that nobody knows him after the flesh. Go and read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about it. So even if we did, henceforth we know him thus no longer. It's so important to God that Jesus is not known according to the flesh. It's so crucial to him. And that's why he told them, when I appeared to you on the mountain, what did you see? Nothing. Just saw smoke and fire. He said, but you heard what? Words. You heard a voice. You heard a voice. You heard a voice. It's words that God wanted to dictate our worship. So he delayed technology concerning photography and videography until long after Jesus had come and gone. Now, can I just say something to you quickly? If you're a preacher, stop filming miracles for us on television. We don't like it. No, preachers do that thing. And like, in case you don't know, it doesn't convince people, though. Trying to film, it doesn't persuade the world, because these days, AI can do anything. One of the most notable miracles that, let me not mention it, one particular, credible man of God. One of the most notable miracles for his ministry, a credible man of a good man of God. All right? Somebody said it was fake. Now, the person saying it knew what he was saying. Said that guy, now it's another pastor who loves the preacher. That was saying, I said, that man is a fraudster. And that's how come the beginning of the prayer, till he was supposedly raised from the dead, was filmed. And when I saw the guy telling his story of his death and resurrection, I couldn't believe him. I said, this guy is not telling the truth. I just said, no, this guy is not telling the truth. A man is speaking. I said, this talk, no. And I felt like telling him, say, you will soon die. See the way you are going. You say you died and they pray for you, you came back to life. Don't worry, you will now properly die. And nobody will be able to bring you back to life. I know, I felt like telling the guy, I said, Kai, you played the bad one. There are things you don't play around. So please, if you are a preacher, just try and rest. Don't feel under pressure. What should you film? Film your teachings. Film your preaching. When you start delivering people from demons, switch off the camera. It embarrasses the church. It's not necessary. People are rolling from one end to the other. And you go and check those people rolling. 9 out of 10 are women. Go and see who Jesus delivered. This him, because the greatest deliverer was a man. The madman of Gadara. The other boy that had the epileptic spirit was a boy. As he delivered men, he delivered women. He didn't say, okay, oh, the demons are only found in women. But you go to our deliverance ministry, go and check it. 9 out of 10 of them is an emotional problem. They don't have demons. It's an emotional issue. No, go now. Go and check those who are falling under the power most times. I mean, no, guys are like, you have power, they put their leg like that. Yeah. Come and knock me down first. Now, please, don't get me wrong. People misinterpret me. They think I said, no, that there's no deliverance or that people don't fall under the power. No, they do. They do. I'm just saying, when we start on it to show, is the women that cooperate with you more. The guys don't have time to be cooperating with a lot of those things. They can come to you for prayer, but if you want to knock them over, you get to knock them over. You have to do it really by the Spirit of God, or you do use a hammer to hammer them. But the guy's not going to fall for you because you are feeling happy with yourself. It's less likely. That's the proper word. Less likely. So what I'm going to say that preachers say, please, let's leave this show. It's not necessary. It is not what preaches the gospel. Preach the word of God. Many people, Jesus would do miracles for. He said, don't tell anybody. He wanted to help people. He wasn't trying to brag. I hope you're getting my point. That our clown, you know, that guy. You know the guy. If you watch the documentary on him, he was a video person. He knew how to use the media. He was just too good with manipulate. So let's not get our gospel into this manipulation thing. Just preach the word. The word carries power. It will go into people's lives and change their lives. Preach the word, pray for people, then share their testimonies. Do you get my point? Encourage people to write in with their testimonies. Pray. If you are ministering along those lines, pray for people on air. It's good. But please stop filming funny filming. You want to do deliverance. You now focus camera and people are... That one is a bad thing. I will say the way it is. That one is not good. It's not good. I don't think you should do it. You make a mockery of ministry. It doesn't promote anything. Now, so I'm talking about technology. So, you know, I just went into that trying to show you that what God did, all right, he deliberately delayed that, the time of Jesus. He said, listen to, see, testimonies are important to God. So give testimonies. Very, very important. Now, but he now said, in the last days, all right, he explained that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Was that not what he said? Through Joel. Now, when he said it, there are two phases to it. I've explained it here before. There was a phase in which the Holy Spirit came. People were scattering all over the place, staggering all over the place, and speaking in other tongues, the day of Pentecost. That's one phase. It came and is still with us here. It didn't come to an end. The second phase, he said, the words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. So when he said, well, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, it also means I will pour out my word on all flesh. And you must understand, with God, the word is important though. We're studying the other in the house when we're reading Amos. He said there will be a famine, not of food, but of the word of God. That people will run from here to there looking for the word. That they'll hear there's a prophet on the other end. They won't go there to go and hear one prophet. So I will create a famine of the word of God. Now, what am I saying? When you see an abundance of the release of the word, it's also a divine manifestation. It's not a game of chance. So when he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, he said, I will make my word available to everybody that's interested in it. He took it stage by stage. Before, to have scriptures, you needed to have money. And men needed to sit down and copy for you. So basically, homes did not have scriptures. The synagogues, temples, place of meeting, public libraries that had them. Only the very wealthy who have those things copied. Imagine that they have to copy your whole Bible by hand. Then one day, God released the technology for press. So the Gutenberg press, and you know what the head press, now you hear press, yeah. That time, you know, it was just a giant stamp. So each page, they will have set everything, all the letters, and to stamp the page, so the whole page is printed at the go. That's all it was. But now, instead of men writing one by one, they could actually produce thousands of that page in a day. Then after a while, God automated it. So they could now produce hundreds of a whole book in a day. Then thousands of a book in a day. At a point in time, hundreds of thousands in giant presses. But you still had to distribute physically the books. God said, no, my word is being unveiled bit by bit. I said, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour my word on all flesh. So one day, he said, all right, develop. Now, this I've said before, technology is not the skill of man. It's a release of the spirit. When the spirit releases, men catch it. So if you're into physics, into, you know, engineering, when God is releasing the next phase of technology, you'll be there, even if you are an unbeliever. All you need to be is be in the physics laboratory. I've been an engineering institution. That's all you need to be. You will take a portion of it. God doesn't say, oh, you're not a Christian. No. For him, who will bring it to light? That's what he's interested in. So what did he do? He released the technology. We began to make digital devices. God said, don't worry. These digital devices will one day interconnect. Then one day, they began to connect. A program was written by which they could speak to one another. God said, I have not there yet. Fast forward to today. Now we have billions and billions of devices that all talk to one another. In case you do not know, my device is talking to yours. So what do you mean? Are you not watching this on YouTube? Our computer is talking to your computer. It's why you can watch it on YouTube. Are you not listening to Kingdom World Radio? Our computer is talking to your computer through many intermediaries. That's why you can listen. It's what they call the internet. Everything is connected. Billions and billions of devices. Your small mobile phone, giant mainframes that servers that Google, Facebook, and Co. have. All of them are talking to each other at an amazing rate per second. Sometimes when I read about some of these things, and I just marvel. And when you see the technology for making those things, you just fold your hands and say, how did human beings get to this level? But I've given you the answer today. They did not. God released it at the right time. That's why he said, ye are gods. He said, look, I know what I'm doing. If I put my spirit, if I give you things that I'm doing in heaven, on the earth, you look like a god. You will. But what's the purpose? to fulfill one word. Once God, when God gives a word, you know what he says? His spirit goes out and gathers. He said, Holy Spirit, that's part of it. But more importantly, he makes his ministers spirits. His angels go out and begin to gather. Angels are there fabricating technology. People think scientists. They are teaching science. Look, please, get what I'm trying to say. He doesn't lie within human beings to invent these things. They tell you that there was a caveman. Adam was never a caveman. None of his descendants was a caveman. They had crude implements. They tied stone to, what do you call it? To stick. And we're now running naked after goats and the wild antelopes. They now clobbered it. And said, that's how human beings used to be. You want to know the truth? It's a lie. Did that happen? Yes. But that's not how human beings used to be. When people sinned and God punished them and shrank their brain, their descendants became like animals. The real Adam never hunted anybody with stone. The stone age was not the first. The first age was the Eden age. In the age of Eden, Adam knew technology. Listen, let me explain. Adam knew where... Look, go and read Job. Job would describe the vein. There's a vein for gold. Men knew those things. How did they know? Because in the garden, God used to come, sit with the man and the woman in the cool of the day. What were they discussing? What do you think they were discussing? You think God was not unveiling to man the mysteries of creation? He was. The angels will come and tell Adam, come, this is how they cook. Don't chop that thing raw. Your mouth go pillow. I shouldn't eat it raw. No, make fire. How do you make fire? Well, which kind of fire do you prefer? You can use wood, you can use gas. This is a vein for natural gas. It comes out of here, you can cook from there. This is how to bottle it and take it home. You know, the problem with modern day, they think they are the only ones that have sense. You'll be comparing yourself to people that sinned. You now go and dig something in the center of Africa. Say civilization started from here. That was where sin ended. It's not starting. So you see people who are crude, who don't know anything, who are walking naked, who are going from tree to tree because God placed a curse on them. The man he created, he taught by himself. The man he created, he taught by himself. All he had to do was give those men time. They will invent things. Why? Because angels had to come to talk to them. That's how this life was. Don't read all the scientists be lying to you every day. Say dinosaurs disappeared 10 billion years ago is a lie. Job saw dinosaurs. And the Bible says, I forgot which of the prophets. God said, one day I'm going to judge Leviathan. Just a few thousand years ago, God just says, enough. Kill off all the dinosaurs. And a few thousand years ago, he killed all of them off. The word of the Lord, the prophets were prophesying. And God said, I'm coming to judge Leviathan. For whatever reason. Even if they were dinosaurs 25 million, I believe that million years thing. These are modern things. These men, those are the new Leviathan. You know, the day I saw Job describe Leviathan, I said, this is a dinosaur for goodness sake. Then I read the Bible commentary, and the man said, possibly a dinosaur. I said, it's not even something that needed to be, people knew before I came on the scene. Where I'm going with the whole thing is that don't let anybody harass you thinking that human beings invented technology. God releases technology for his purpose. And I'm telling you, this modern day, we're talking about the mountain that filled the whole earth. That mountain, nobody can obstruct it. The seed for destruction of every stronghold has been sown already. Through technology. Through technology. Why did God give us the internet? So that we can look at the other day. That direct principle that I was talking about. I just said, what am I even doing? I just dropped it there. Because it's not our message. It'll be available for 24 hours. Just go download it. If it's before. Yeah. If it's before. I remember one shop in Enugu where I would carry, oh no, I don't do things in this life. I will buy empty tapes. I go and give it to them. They said they are the ones that record the request messages for people. I will buy maybe like 20 empty tapes and go and dump it and go to their catalog. And I remember those people, I used to be very angry with them. They charged me more money to dump the tapes than I bought the tapes. And I'm like, what are you trying to do here? Is this business we're trying to promote the word of God? And I grudgingly paid, angrily, but I gave them the money. They recorded the tapes for me. Half of them, you couldn't hear anything. I went to them, this one is not clear now. They said, okay, come back next week. I come back, I listen to the messages. But this one is not clear now. Okay, bring it back. That's why they work up and down. Now, thank God for the little thing he has done for us. I said, cost of printing books now is quite high. I said, I don't even want to print. We finish the book, we put it on the website. The day we launch, there's a way I do the counting. I use a Bitlink to count. A few days after, a few thousands have been downloaded. I said, hey, people are reading. That's what technology has done. It's so easy for me to share anything now. I'm sure Brother Prince will not mind. He can't even mind. Because now he's beholding the face of Jesus. Jesus will be smiling for him. Jesus will look at him and say, Derek, I like Banky. Yeah, those kingdom world people, they are doing their share. You know, doing your share is important. You should ask yourself every day, what share am I doing in advancing the gospel of Christ on this earth? Let me say it again. Don't wait till you have finished educating your children and everybody is now happy in your house. You now want to start advancing the gospel of God. It's supposed to be a priority. You have to ask yourself every time, what am I doing? What share am I doing in advancing the kingdom? Now, what am I saying all of these things? That the building of the kingdom of God, that mountain will fill the whole earth. The stage has been set. That's how I went to technology. The Bible is in every language. You know some people, you know their job. If you see them, you give them money. Support them. Their job is to identify any language. You know, Nigeria has the Bible Society of Nigeria. You know what they do? Any dialect in this country, there are a number of people are speaking. Their job is to write the Bible in that dialect. If I want, I just like to give small gist. When I was serving then, they told me about one of their people, white man, you understand? So he stopped on the road to buy kuli kuli. You know, that's in the north, somewhere up north. You know kuli kuli now? So he bought kuli kuli and he was eating kuli kuli. So some children now saw him. They were not speaking Hausa. Hey, the baturi yana chi kuli kuli fa. You know, they were speaking like that. They were laughing. So the white man just turned to them. He said, baturi ba mutum bani, bazia chi kuli kuli. Who speaks? I was like, Olori. Good, you got it. Did I get it right? Yeah. What does it mean? The man just said, is white man not a human being? Won't he eat kuli kuli? So the children, they all ran away. He heard us, The man was working for Bible Society of Nigeria. Oh, yes. They translate into any language. That time when I was there, they were translating into Jibawa. Well, you know, Northern Nigeria has a lot of those like, what did I say? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. What did he now say next? Upon this rock, I will build my church. Next line. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? Gate means defense. Say, there's no way they want to block people in. We'll overcome them. We'll advance. We'll push. We came by land. They blocked. God said, I know what I'm doing. We came by air. They blocked. God said, I know what I'm doing. Now we're going to come by spirit. And when they say spirit, we zap it into their phones. With one click, a whole house would have a complete Bible. Say, stop that. Let me see you. So right now, Satan has given up. Watch it. This is a word of prophecy I heard long ago. Every stronghold mounted against the advancement of the gospel of Christ in any nation is crumbling down. Amen. Look, it will come down so suddenly, you'll be shocked. When communism came down, people could hardly believe it. Just watch it. You say, oh, this whole nation is Hindu. This whole nation is Muslim. This whole nation is this. God said, every nation on this earth, and listen to this, some will deliberate and they will resist. And there's a reason why God allows that to happen. He said, I need to judge people to make them an example. Yeah, that's what I've said to you before. He said, if you go to Dubai, it's fine. I said, tell the rulers of Dubai that thus says the Lord, desert thou art, to desert thou shalt return, except you kiss the sun, otherwise he'll get angry. It's the word of God. And it's not even hard. You know, there are things that you can try to imagine how will God do it. God said, this one is not hard. I don't even need too much. I see two angels. Those ones that passed by, did you see them that passed by Sodom and Gomorrah? They have two guys like this. They are in the same team. Those ones that tsunami is their portion. They just go and they just do like this. Or the water they will release. I saw one video yesterday. I've never seen that before. The guy described the speed that when the continents collapsed and the waters erupted from below, that the force of this, the water alone killed dinosaurs. Talking about the Noah's flood. I didn't save the link. I wanted to get the full video. The man was analyzing. He said it was a continental collapse. It wasn't just rain. That the deeps opened. They didn't just open and start flowing. That they shot jets of water. Anything hits dies in the way. God is a... Look, let nobody paint this picture of, you know, God is so nice. He only sells ice cream and popcorn and obologbo. That is not God, though. God is not like that. If God wants to destroy things, if he wants... Look, let me tell you something about God. When he wants to humble nations, you will feel sorry for them. You will sit down and pity them. The problem a lot of us have, we don't know how to identify when God is working. We give his glory to another God. He says the devil. When I look at what's happening in Haiti right now, I said they are close to salvation because one woman said only God can deliver us. I said, you are close to salvation. I said, somebody buy me a ticket. I want to go and preach. Somebody open their airways for me. Let me preach. I love that. They are close to salvation. When you look and say, there is no other person that will help us. America is not minding us. France is angry with us till today because we killed their people those days. Everybody is against us. Only God can help us. And the voodoo gods we serve, they have failed. And many of those things that are happening, God is judging the voodoo. See, can I talk a bit? Just watch what Haiti has gone through in the last... People have been abusing Christians for telling them that it's God's judgment against iniquity and voodooism. It's not a lie. God judges things. Don't bother abusing preachers who say it. A few years ago, they had an earthquake that brought down the presidential palace. So that the president went to sit in the airport. I was saying, see, what can I do now? There's nothing I can do. See, his house was down. Earthquake. They suffered so much. Years later, I was seeing news reports. They had not recovered from that earthquake. Buildings, people were still living in tents. Years later. Then now gang violence has taken the whole place over. And when I saw the BBC report that said, only God can help us now. I said, they are close to salvation. To me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And anybody who's angry with him will be put to shame. If God wants to humble nations, leave that. When I see the way some people have faith in America, I just shake my head. I say, you don't know God. The system works. I say, which system? If God wants to spread disorder in that nation, in 1 week, every city is on fire. And when God wants to ensure that you can't handle it, as there's social unrest, it donates natural disasters. You will see there will be an earthquake here, flooding here, hurricane here. That is, the federal government will be spread thin. Of course, you know the way Americans are. Finally, because of looting, everybody will carry a gun and wait at the door and start shooting each other. And God will say, I thought you said the system worked. No system works. So, if I decide to judge, you will know that I have a reason in my anger. The Lord is good. Why am I saying all of this? Don't be afraid that some nations cannot be penetrated. God said, just give me time. But let's get back to the main message. The main message is that for this mountain to fill the earth, God has built that model. We have the blueprint. He has put the materials available. He has made them available. He now said, everyone. Let's just read that whole thing that Paul said, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 24. Paul said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Just read a few more verses. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God that was bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And what is that preaching? That is, I'm preaching the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. Which verse am I in? Verse 26, yes.
So this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now, I just switched versions. But now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is that secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing in his glory. Now that we have to go classical with that one. He said, this is the mystery that was hidden from generations past. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, why did I read this? Just to show you where that reference was from. The fact that we all have to do our share. Back to where we began, Revelation chapter 17. Please let me repeat the truth inside there in my instruction this morning. The beast, that tells me it's a spiritual being and maybe inhabits a human being because it's also one of the kings. But then he has other kings that donate. Now, that's so critical. They have power and authority to him and for his purpose. But then our emphasis is on Christ. But I'd like to talk about the beast simply because it helps us see the pattern. There's a spiritual pattern there. There is a beast, and then to do his purpose, he needs kings on the earth who donate their power and authority. The reason is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth, he has done what? Given to the sons of men. That applies to Jesus also. Now, Jesus has his purpose, which I have described, to fill every corner, both spiritually and physically of this earth, with the truth of the gospel and the kingdom of God in Christ. Now, to do that, he also needs his own kings that will work with him. Especially since physically he has left, but left his body on the earth. So he says, I will make my... That's one of the things you must understand. That's why he made his people kings. We are called the kingdom of priests, or priests and kings unto his father. We are not only priests, we are kings also. But there's a reason for it. Because you see, he came and said, you be in charge of 10 cities. You must understand, spiritual warfare is waged with authority, not with struggles. Is he that has power, who has authority in his words, that wins? Spiritual warfare is a warfare of authority. It's a warfare of words. That is where the word of the king is. That's how you do spiritual authority. It is spiritual warfare. You do spiritual warfare with authority. I use the illustration of when we're young. You know, please, those who are so scientific minded, sometimes they lose some truths about life. If you learn some things about the spirit, it's important. Science, the realm is down. Up there is the realm of the spirit. Please don't think, please let me digress. I'd like you to have knowledge. That's why I do some of these things. Don't think that the white man brought gun, he showed to the African that his juju does not work against bullets. That is a lie. It's a lie. You know what happened to the African kingdoms? Their time was over. Just like the time of the Romans ended, the time of the Medes and the Persians, and the Greeks took over, and the time of the Greeks ended, and the Romans took over. The time of the African kingdoms, the Kanem-Bodno empires, the Oyo-Keke-Keke-No empire, their times ended. How did it end? God sent the white men to end it for them. So they would take the Benin king and deport him to Calabar. They had the power. It was not because their juju was not working. It's because God said it will not work. You may not like it, till now. I work by testimonies of credible people. There are men that if you strike with a knife, you can't cut them. The head of Rima in Nigeria, I was there at one of the sessions one day. He gave his testimony. A man dared people around to cut him with anything sharp. Nobody could. So he told the man, I will cut you. Ah. So he asked for the blade. He was watching. But because he had to understand it, just said the man, okay, I will cut you. And I'll just be merciful and will cut you where you will not suffer too much. The man brought his hand, dead him. Under his breath, he gave a word. The spirit left the man. He cut the man bled. Dropped the blade. I told you I will cut you, you will bleed. The man looked at him like, what? He said, look, come. Like, where did you get your power from? The man said, look, I use the power of Christ. All this one you are doing.
He said what he did was as he approached the man, under his breath, he drove out the demons. So they paced back. The man did not know. Well, like Samson. He would whist not. No, men like that exist though. One day, one man told me a story that there was he witnessed it. There was a riot. I won't tell you which part of Nigeria. Anyway, somewhere in Western Nigeria. Those guys did no juju. So the guys, he said, police came, gone, everything. Nothing could handle the rioters. Why? There were two girls in front dancing naked. They were in front, and nothing crossed their line. Wherever they were, if you were behind them, you were okay. Fire any shot, it's not crossing that line. The man was, he was telling us, was my dad and I, you know, we came to work with my dad, came from their head office. So my dad was in the regional office. So they were talking, I was sitting down there and watching. I can tell you things. So don't let them feel, say, hey, you know they work against white man bullets. We are talking something. When you hear, there was one I saw in the newspaper. This guy was he robbed either in Benin or in Owo, but he was on that road. Anytime police gets to him, he stops and faces the police. They will shoot from now till tomorrow. But he has to face them. He can't turn his back on them. A policeman had to go behind and shoot him from behind. Some of them understand. They look at the guy. Ah, this guy is always stopping and facing them. And there was nothing they could do. Until one guy went to the bush, walked around to the back, and shot him from the back. Well, then the boy come and said, look, you know what happened to the African kingdoms? Their time was over. So they went other times. God said, it won't work this time around. I have brought a man of my purpose from a distant country. He's going to depose your king. He's going to carry your men off as slaves. It's the time of my judgment. Especially because I brought the gospel. You rejected it. You killed the missionaries. I'm going to kill you in return. But more important, not out of vengeance, but so that my gospel can advance. From time, God ordained that every corner of this globe will be filled with this gospel of Christ. And listen, that's why I said, anybody holding himself, you know, like a gospel can't come here. Your time, he said you have been placed on a scale and found wanting. The time has been set for your downfall as a whole nation. God said, if all of you come together and say it will not happen, I will destroy you all in one piece. People will marvel at how I killed 1 billion people in a week. And they will say, what happened? I told them, kiss the son. I said, the son is angry. He gave them 3 generations. Look at what they are doing. The last missionaries that went there, they killed them. I knew they would kill them. I prepared thrones for them in heaven here. They are dead. But that was when their cup became full. Again, let's preach. I'm talking about our own responsibilities. Each person. Paul said, I'm doing my share. There's a share for each person. But every Christian, listen to this, you must be doing something. Remember, I was talking about authority. The warfare is an authority thing. There are those who speak and bullets don't penetrate. That's why I went to all of that. And you know it's in the scripture. He said, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. There's nothing, it's in the scriptures. God has given certain words. So this is the heritage of the servants of God. So what happened to those people? That's why I was talking about it. At the time came, God said, look, I pulled away their authority. The spirit with which they did warfare has ended. The kingdoms that they were carrying have ended. I ended the kingdoms. Now I went to that story. That's set. Those the ones who were young, yeah, I wanted to add that one to it. I said Christians should learn spiritual things, learn truth. One of the things we learned those days, is that when men wanted to fight. See, you have to understand, even in the Bible you see it, people didn't go to battle physically until they had won spiritually. Or at least until they had been deceived that they won. I hope you're getting my point. So, Jehoshaphat will agree to go with Ahab to war. What was the first thing Ahab would do? He will call the prophets. Prophesy to me. Go. He needed to hear that. If you ever saw this movie 300, even the Spartans, they couldn't go to war until the Air Force told them to do something. Is it Air Force they called them? I forgot the name they call those old guys, that he had to climb the mountain to talk to. They would do divination. And they would tell them, you can go. You can't go at this time. This is the time where you go. Now, I'm not using those ones to determine my doctrine. I'm using the scriptures. All right? But just to show that even other men understood them. In the Bible, Ahab sat there and said, get me the prophets. So the prophets began to prophesy. And Jehoshaphat looked and said, Kai, these prophets don't look real. They look like, give them food and they will prophesy anything. Said, don't even have a real prophet. So they called Micaiah for him. And Micaiah said, in summary, this war will not go well. Ahab will die there. I'm just summarizing what happened. And Ahab, because he was destined to die there, did not believe. He was going to die there. So, he said, lock him up until I return triumphant. Only one prophet saying I will die. When 200 prophets that I fed said I will live. That's how my sister went for a meeting one day. One big rich woman invited her for a meeting. All night service in her house. And she went. And one prophet was imported from a distant land within Nigeria though. And they were there prophesying. The woman, brought all. Thus says the Lord. And the woman was trembling. Well, my sister did not know when she erupted. I said, no. God said there would not be peace because I see blood. The prophet stopped prophesying and said they should throw that woman out. But the host said, no. She's my friend. How dare she? Make a long story short. End of that week, the woman was dead. Her son beat her to death. Took a knife and butchered his own mother. Yeah, a week after. Stop paying prophets. They can't prophesy well again. The woman had money. She had prophets. Hey, this woman just went in. They said she should come for prayer. Now he goes. As the prophesied, she was just looking at, what is all of this? Prophet was pouring oil, was vibrating. By the grace upon my life. When you are talking like that, your suit is too fine. I'm suspicious. What kind of grace they give you this kind of fine suit? I'm not saying it's wrong. You're suspicious. This is a woman just shout. She didn't know when she screamed. No, no, no. End of the week, she was in pieces, butchered by her own son. Because she would not listen to the word of a true prophet. Exactly what happened to Micaiah. And Ahab. Micaiah said, you will come back. If you come back, God didn't speak by me. He said, lock him up. Micaiah just went there, was picking his teeth. He's a dead man walking. Now, what people don't understand is that this guy was not attacked directly. He was very crafty. He told Jehoshaphat, dressed like a king. Jehoshaphat went with his royal robe. Idiot. You know, you see why I called him an idiot in a moment. This guy dressed like a common soldier, so he would be safe. The Bible says one of the Aramean soldiers randomly just took an arrow and shot into the air. If you see movies, that's how they do. The guy was wearing his armor. Yeah, just one gap in the armor, the arrow hit. In summary, killed Ahab. Jehoshaphat, because the king of the Arameans had told his men, I don't have time for war. Just assassinate that king for me. So they were looking for Ahab, and they couldn't find Ahab. They saw Ahab and pursued him because he was wearing a royal robe. When they thought it was Ahab, when they caught up with Ahab, now I'm thinking from their mind, when they caught up with Ahab, they said, kill him. Jehoshaphat shouted, I'm not Ahab. They look like, what is wrong with you? Because their king had told them, I don't want fight. Just kill Ahab for me. So they let Jehoshaphat go. But that was not them. It was God that said, it is not time to die for Jehoshaphat. At the return, the prophet said, what is wrong with you? Why will you make friends with the enemies of God? That's why I call him an idiot. See, why will you be friends with the enemies of God? You know how much Ahab hates God. How what he does with his genuine prophets. And you are following him to battle? Don't try it again. This is how I say, God, I won't do it again. But Ahab, that disguise, know what happened? He died. Men didn't used to go to battle until they knew the outcome. That's why I said some of them even deceive. That's why I use Ahab as an example. But David will say, "Will I go? Should I go or should I not go? Should I stay here or should I run? With the men of Keilah, you know, should I pursue?" God will say, "Okay, pursue. You will overtake them and you will recover all." They did not use to go to war until they knew the outcome spiritually. Wars are spiritually fought. They are spiritual things. You fight these things spiritually. So those men will do divination. The ones that God wants to destroy, a lying prophet will lie to them. They will go to battle like Ahab, and die in the process. But my emphasis is that authority is a spiritual thing. Wars, I'm going to say, warfare is spiritual. It's people that have authority that win. The prince told the story of the turn of the battle of El Alamein, where the turn of the battle of the Axis forces against the Allied forces. Allied led by, of course, Britain. I think America had joined at that particular point in time. And then the Axis forces led by Germany. And then they had Italy with them. And they were fighting North Africa. And this guy, Rommel, tough general. Listen, Hitler's victory was spiritual. I don't want to go into that now. God gave him technology. Just drugs. Gave to human beings. They will fight for 3 days without stopping. What the French did not know was possible. They said even if they start marching, they will be here in 3 days' time. By the time it was evening, Hitler was at their doorsteps. They were not prepared. So they had one tough general, Rommel, commanding the forces in North Africa. And the British were doing so badly. The Allied forces were doing very terribly. The reprint said he was in the army there. And then God gave him prayers to pray. And he began to pray. He began to pray. So one day, the Council of War met in Britain and decided to replace the commander in North Africa. They pulled the commander out, brought in a new one. As that one was landing, his plane crashed, he broke his neck, and he died. And unilaterally, Winston Churchill had to appoint an unknown general, Bernard Montgomery, and say, "You, go and take command, it's an emergency." And that one was his son of, I think, a British preacher. He knew how to pray. That's why God removed the other one. The Red Prince was praying. The new commander, the field marshal, was also leading men in prayer. He said, "Now for the decisive war of El Alamein." That was when he heard the testimony, he broke into tears. Because the man gathered his men and led them to pray to the Lord of hosts before the attack started. So everything worked in his favor, and he beat the Germans. And he told them, I heard from another person, somewhere I heard that one. "So we're going to beat that guy, Rommel," told his men. Fire them up. Everybody was disciplined. They fought, and they beat the Germans. Why? Because the commanding officer knew how to pray, and God had planted men elsewhere to pray. Please, do this one where the Africans love to pray is Satan trying to keep us down. No. Please continue to pray. Oh. If you are starting a business, pray. Oh. I tell husbands, pray for your wives. These girls are not your friends. They are not your girlfriends. They are your wives. My wife does not travel without asking for prayer. From me. She will put a knee down. I say, "My husband, I'm about to go." Sometimes my sister, she leaves very early. Will my husband wake up now? So I just turn in the bed. I just put the hand on her head. "Go safely. You will have favor. You will return safely." Then she picks her bag. Amen. And runs. Some of you just tell your husband, "Francis, I don't go." You know, why do you do like that? This guy is not your boyfriend, though. He's your husband. And if you want an anointing, treat him with respect. Look, when you want to target, that's a different matter. This target should not spread to other parts of the household. When you go and meet Reverend Yink afterward, tell the meaning of target. It's a spiritual word. Treat the man with respect and provoke an anointing from him. My wife never traveled. The day she traveled, and I was still talking, and she ran away because she said, "I didn't want her to go. I didn't say anything." She reached nightmare. Olopa catching driver, catch the motor, catch everybody, lock them down there. After they don't talk, go ahead, talk. Here. After they settle the matter, the driver says, go. He said, no, turn, we're going home. Why? My husband was not happy I was going. So just turn. I beg, this one is nightmare. I don't know what was waiting in Ojiriva. All cars in front. We are going to Onitsha. Just so the driver, turn. So when I later on, madam, you don't go in there and go again. You all look me like you're not serious. Go where? You think I don't want to survive? I just feel like, look. The Bible says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. Men, learn to pray for your wives. And women, please activate the blessing. Do it. You need to. That's just an aside. I just want to say that life is spiritually, fought. It's a battle of spirits. We fight spiritually. We are not just fighting physically. I'm trying to get to a point. It's taking quite a while. I hope you have been blessed anyway. That's the most important thing. The Lord is good. Now that we've established that fact, I was just telling stories of things we learn with children, that when those guys will want to fight, all right, you see them, the fight is usually spiritual. The issue fought words. It's the person that wins in this realm of the spirit that wins physically. And when you see that, they said, I was trying to emphasize something. Let nobody lie to you that the white people, the colonialists came to Africa and they ran Africa over because they had superior weapons. No, that's not why. The reason why they ran the place over was because God brought them in to end certain empires, to end the reign of certain kings, to express his judgment against the people. So it now manifested physically by weapons and wars and all of that. Okay? It's not because their so-called juju didn't used to work. Trust me, those things worked. Those things worked. It's just that when God said it's enough, it stopped working. All right? So that's what I'm just trying to emphasize with all of those things. So, now we know. Kingdoms. They are spiritual fights. We fight with authority. Back to what we're saying. These kings gave their power and their authority to the beast. But Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, so he's going to overcome. It's been decreed. This battle will not end until he has overcome. However, his overcoming will not happen until the work of the kings and lords who are with him. He said he will win because he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Now, who are his kings? Who are his lords? Who are with him? Go back there. Revelation chapter 17. He said, who are those people? He said, they are what? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Who are they? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, listen. Human beings, that's the church, can hinder the plan of God. They can. In fact, they do. Not they can, they do. If you see when Jesus went to his hometown in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly folk and he prayed for those and they got healed. But he could not do anything mighty. Lame couldn't walk, blind could not see, deaf couldn't hear. Most certainly no dead person was raised. He said it was because of what? Their unbelief. So he now went around, that's the point I'm making. He now went around their towns and villages teaching. He had to go instructing them with the word of God. He had to go transforming them by the instructions of God. Without that, there was no power manifested. They hindered the power. But he corrected it with what? Instruction. Now, what is our own part from Kingdom World Ministries? That's what we are doing. Teaching the church how to live before God, how to walk with God until he releases authority into their lives. Now, there's one mistake we make sometimes. All right, let me just quickly clarify this. When I was a believer, we were told some things. When I was a young Christian, we're taught some things. I look back now. They were not wrong. They were just incomplete. We're given the impression that as a child of God, you have authority. So we write books on authority. So I have many books around on authority of the believer. Now, many of us now think that every believer has the same level of authority. But let me say to you, it's not so. You must know your level of authority. You have authority over the devil in your life 100% of the times. You can tell the devil, don't come here, and he will not come. You resist him, he will flee. Look, every aspect of your life, you can say, look, you will not possess my children, he will not possess my children. The only thing, just bear in mind, is not just with words, it's with corresponding actions. Faith goes with actions. So if you do things that are contradict the words that you are speaking, both in conduct, in character, you understand, and even actions based on those things, you may be contradicting the faith you claim you are using to speak. Let me give an example. Said, Satan, you will not possess my children. That's correct. Amen? Amen? Then you start teaching them how to lie by setting an example of lying in front of them. Satan said, me and you are in the same party. Why are we fighting here? I'm not going to possess your children. You will possess your children for me. You have possessed them with lying, with dishonesty. You set an example of dishonesty in front of them. Why won't I possess them? You can't have it both ways. So if you say to Satan, which you have the right to as a believer, you will not possess my children. They will not smoke Igbo. You can't smoke cigarette. You can't be there. My children will not smoke. Ah. Go and check it. David had dozens of wives. That's why Solomon could have hundreds of wives. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. If my father married 40 wives, why can't I have 700? You know David had dozens of wives. The Bible didn't like talking about it, so we had to go behind to find out. God was embarrassed. God said, hey, this boy will not disgrace somebody. But the guy literally had dozens of wives. What? How come? In case you did not know, that was why he died early. 70-year-old David could not go to war. Meanwhile, 80 or 85-year-old Caleb was leading a charge against giants. It's like telling David, shame on you. Moses, he was not a warrior, but if he was, he would have been fighting at the age of 120, because the Bible says his strength did not abate. David, just 70 years. They can't find him on Mogi to keep him warm. They could not even use water bottle. If now heat too true, why he not use water bottle? They knew where his strength went, so they told the girls, come on, return this strength. No, that's what happened now. No, isn't the Bible? There's nothing I'm telling you that's not in the scriptures. He said, don't give your strength to women. Is that not so? Hey, he gave his strength. So the elder met, said, women, send a representative to come and return Baba's strength. Should I tell something you did not know? But he did not know her. He could not. I hope you got what I'm saying. He could not. Virtue had gone out. Virtue had Google. There was no virtue again. Look. Very much. And God is a banker. Why are you talking about this thing? Okay, we won't talk about it too much. But just to let you know, that's where Solomon got his spirit from. That's where he got it from. So please, preserve your energy. Just marry one wife. That is enough. Your energy will be preserved. Amen?
Amen.
So you have authority over Satan. So you will rebuke Satan in the life of your children by words. However, you have to make sure that your life, your conduct, your character goes with what you are saying. Okay? But you have authority in that area. But then what we now didn't realize was that our authority did not really spread much beyond our personal lives as individuals. What I'm trying to say is that as a person, I had authority to decide as a student whether I would read or not. I could decide that I wouldn't fail. And with prayer, of course, I could do all of those things. But one of us, one person, couldn't really just go out there Students want to riot, and we say, this riot will not happen. We thought we did, but we actually did not. Individuals, we didn't have. Now, as a group, there are two forms of higher authority there. As a group, the body of Christ is so strong. If we could come into unity, it's really very difficult. Okay? Because when you have a fellowship that has like 200 fellowships, a campus that has like 200 fellowships, come and unite them, let me see. They don't even go for each other's programs. How would they pray unity? And it's one major way by which Satan enters those places. It divides the Christians. One major prayer Christians on campuses like that should pray is for unity. It's a major prayer point. Because your power is whittled down. It comes to nothing if you are divided. Because if you could come to agreement, vice chancellors would be afraid of you. That's an aside. Anyway, so individuals, we couldn't have those powers, really. However, for the purpose of today's teaching, okay, I've mentioned the fact that we could have group power, but for the purpose of today's teaching, let me focus on individual power. But certain persons, you may not know them, God lifts them up to that level. They could, alone, single-handedly, come to Israel. There will be no rain or dew until I say otherwise. And they didn't even bother to say, thus is the Lord. Elijah just comes and says, there's not going to be any rain, there's not going to be any dew, until I say so. You want rain? All of you can pray. It's not falling. The whole nation could gather in intercession to God at that time, and that rain wouldn't fall. What God will do if he shows you mercy is to talk to Elijah. Go and release the rain. Why? Because God had given him what? Authority over that land. So it's possible on that same campus, a lecturer, a student, even the vice chancellor, somebody, has so much power that people are planning a looter. He'll just look out of the window. And God says, look at what they are planning. They want to start a demonstration and a riot so that you will close the school so the exam will not start in 2 weeks' time. Like you said, it should start. And the fellow just come out of the window and say, they may gather, but I will scatter it. Be scattered. And he closes his window and goes back to be watching television. He says, the gathering is not of me. It will not succeed. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. I'm the vice chancellor here. Leave that in. And he goes back to sleep. Then he gives a testimony. The one boy will not get up. And he wants to repeat it. He doesn't have the authority. It has not been granted him. Let me say something about Christianity you must bear in mind. Many of you that are taught to young Christians are the potentials that God has placed in front of you to walk towards. You hear what I said? You see, I've seen preachers try to preach. I say, all you need to do is just declare this. I say, okay, that declaration you are declaring, it was not your personal affair. It was something else. So for it to have worked, God gave you an authority. That is not available to every Christian. Don't let them think it's available. It's good. Give the testimony, but let them know. Each person can walk with God until he gets to a particular rank in life where he will say something and it is established. Let me just read it quickly because it's there. It's all over the scriptures. Revelation chapter 2. The life of Joseph is a very good example. God doesn't just give you authority because you are happy. He gives it to you because he has tested you. He has proven you. Joseph was tested. He was proven. He was tried until that time that the word came to pass. Look at what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2. He was talking to one of those churches. Which church is that? Pergamum. Yeah. Go down to verse 17. Let me start from 16. Therefore, repent or else I'm coming to you quickly. And I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. Now notice this. And I will give him a white stone and a name written on it, which no one knows but he who receives it. Please notice that. I will give him a new name written on that stone. That white stone, my understanding is that it represents a seal. Have you ever seen a seal? They pour wax and then heat it, you understand? And make a mark in the wax. That's a seal. So why that white stone? He said, on that name, on that stone is written what? A name. Now you've seen seals. Seals always have something written on it. So that seal is a stone, the name on it, so they go together. Now that name is a sign. That stone is a sign of authority. It is what God gives to the person as power to wield in the affairs of mankind. But the point I want to make is that he doesn't give it to him because he's born again. He gave it to him because he overcame. Authority is issued to who? Overcomers. Let me round off here. If God allows me, I'll continue from this point next time. And that's the fact that, how does Jesus win? This is a summary of it. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. He has to have enough of these people. Why? They are the ones he will give authority to. It is authority that we use to do what? To wage warfare, to overcome on behalf of the Lord. So we overcome personally, we receive authority, then we use the authority to serve the will of God. That's the summary of it. I really want to close, all right? But let me go back again. How do we wage war? With what? Authority. It's not physical. It's not bullets. It's physical. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. How do we wage it? God gives you authority. Every king is a king. Every lord is a lord because they have authority. That's what makes you a king. So the people that he calls the kings and lords that he's lord over, he said, these are the people who are with him. These are them. They are what? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. They are not three groups, please. I need to clarify that. They are persons who have passed through three stages of preparation. Many are called, few are chosen. They've been chosen. They've been chosen. They are like the soldiers of Gideon. They've been chosen because of the way they took water. They've been chosen by the way they behaved when water was flowing in the river. Did they put their head down, drink straight, or they stood and they were looking and bringing the water to their mouth while their eyes were looking around? They were chosen for certain criteria. Hopefully, we'll get into that. I had hoped to do that today, but let me stop it here now, okay? But then, beyond being chosen, amongst them, each one that has been chosen is now tried. They are tried two ways. Of course, we know, with adversity and with prosperity. Both of them, people are tried with them. Now, those who have been tested and have proven faithful in the midst of the tests are the ones the Lord said, I will give a stone that has a name on it. They are the ones that are issued authority. They are the ones that actually walk with the Lord to bring forth his plan on the earth. Without them, the agenda of the Lord is in suspension for a very long time. See, let me say something. Now I said it before. I'm closing now. We can all be in the same country. It doesn't mean we're under the same climate. That was said by a comedian, but he has spiritual truth. Somebody said, what do you mean? Your name can be Joseph, and you're in prison. The other prisoner is there, but for a different reason. You are in prison to be tried, to be tested, until the time that your word will come to pass. Then the king will send for you. So you may see economic hardship around. How it's affecting your neighbor is none of your business. You can have prosperity. They give you a job in one place where everybody is very well paid. Everybody that is there is making millions on the other every week. As affecting your neighbor is different. See, let me tell you something. Stop letting the world equate you with everybody else. I don't know whether I get my point. They should, don't allow them. They would say, maybe now you are earning a lot of money. Now tell the kind of school your child should be going to, and you agree. Why? That is the kind of school that people on your level go to. What they are teaching there, you don't know. They are just choosing the school by the caliber of people that go there. Holiday in court, you can't be earning this amount of money. And your children have never been to Europe. And you are wondering, how does that contribute to your destiny? Going to Europe does not contribute to your destiny.
If you want to go, go.
It's not by force. And the fact that you have money does not mean you must go. And please, don't try to go if you don't want to get into trouble. If you have not given that amount of money to missions, you know, I've been warning you. Christians behave like their head is not correct. Souls are perishing. People just get up, take God's money, and use it to be worldly. That's where I'm going. You can't use the money of God to be worldly. It's not allowed. You are not allowed to do that. Prosperity is a test. Adversity is a test. You must pass both of them. Now, some of you have failed. So that's what I'm telling you. So you can go and pass now. Take your receipt exam. Sometimes you take it in your mind. You just go there and say, God, I'm so sorry. Let's go over that again. I won't do it again. Adversity is not enough excuse for stealing. It changes your destiny. It denies you of the authority. Like I said the other time, you prayed to God to give food. He didn't bring food. If you use that as an excuse to steal, what you have done is that you have decided that you will never enter the throne that God ordained for you. What you should have said is that, hunger or no hunger, I will not deny the Lord. And that's all he wants to hear. He made you hungry before he fed you with manna. It's deliberate. Say, I want you to be hungry. You have to understand God does it sometimes. Say, this boy, make sure he doesn't get food. Satan came, he's still praising God. Still praising God. So God said, what's wrong with that? It's because he has water. He tells the angel, remove the water. God said, just praise and give thanks for 3 days. That's all. And in the second day, some people will now go and preach. If the gospel you are holding on to is not producing results, you need to change it. God said, hey, wait. I need to get to the third day before I give you authority. And the kind of authority I want to give you is the type that you get to a barren land and say, water, rain, fall. And rain will start falling. Now Satan wants to collect it from you with difficulty. With just a muscle of meat. You know what they call it? A meal of beans. What is that one they gave Esau? Porridge. And then his destiny is over. Simply because they told you that when you speak it, it's supposed to just happen. It didn't happen after 2 days. God said, I also test people. When they spoke it and it's not happening, will they still follow me? Sometimes I take my soldiers, I post them in difficult places. You know what? Let me tell you something about adversity and God. They always have a predetermined end. He will say, you'll be tested for 10 days. He said, you'll be tested for how long? 10 days. It's 10 days. It's 10 days. He said, he that endures till the end of the 10 days is the one that will get the seal and the name. That's the person he calls what? An overcomer. You know, I'm saying all of this to say, make a point. Don't let anybody drive you away from the place of your assignment because the dollar is changing for 1,000 something. So what's going on in this country? Determine your life by what you are contributing to the building of the mountain. Remember that mountain that's covering the whole earth? Remember we said all of us must build it? Each person is doing what? Contributing what? His share. Please, don't determine the direction of your life by how much food you are getting. Just say, what impact am I making? How am I contributing? Have more noble things in your mind. Because I've seen, you know, like I told you before, when Nigerians behave sometimes behave one kind sometimes, I just feel bad. But I feel terrible when believers join and behave exactly the same way unbelievers behave. People have not serious, they discussed it before that. You know, we go Saudi. I said to go and do what? Now, not because I'm afraid of Saudi, that's what I'm telling you. Is that so? Who will preach here while I'm gone? That's all. Hey, those guys pay very well. But I tell people, I say, listen, so wait, excuse me. Who will preach for me? It's just a question I want to ask. Now, I said, no, Pastor Kimote can preach, Pastor Dami can preach, now Elder John can preach. Now. That's not what I'm saying. Who will preach my own work? Let me put it like this. Who will preach my share? Who will preach my share? That's all. That thing has guided me since I came to this city in the year 2000. Shortly after I came, I was called by one of my senior colleagues. gave me an arrangement that I had to leave Enugu for 3 months. I'll be in the U.S. And they look like, Oga, 3 whole months. 3 whole months. That's what I was thinking. Julie, I was like, okay, you don't understand. Now, in case you did not know, Kingdom World Ministries could not, at that time, if it had started meeting regularly, I can't remember, could not boast of 10 regular people attending. That includes my wife. Yeah, it didn't cross my mind that I could live for 3 months. I said no. Not at this stage. I said no. No. Now, it wasn't a bad thing, though. I hope you get my point. I just reasoned that no. This is, in all the messages I preached that period, for information, you can find them till now on our website. Not everybody is a preacher. I'm a preacher. People do other things. I've never understood. Listen, if God does not appear to you in a dream and confirmed by the words of at least 3 credible elders, you can't shut down a clinic, a workplace where you are employing 20 people because you want to travel abroad. Please, I forbid you. You can't do that. So, Pastor Michael, let God appear to you in a dream. And don't cajole him to come. Like one brother said, let God talk to you so you can move to Europe. Have you heard that thing before? I've heard it a lot of times. You are sitting in Nigeria. God needs to talk to you now so you can move over to Europe. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, whatever you tell me in life, God said to you, I'll never believe. Because you determine ahead what he must say. Which is not, it's not allowed. Please let me end it here, alright? I wish, like I said, we have to do this camp meeting one day. Faithfulness is to a number of things. One of them is to the work you are given to do, and two, to where you are given to do it. If you're a minister, you can't relocate ministry because you're hungry. You know I've been saying that thing. Faithfulness is to the specific work that God has. We'll talk about it hopefully next time. I want to explain again. Before you were born, he knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he consecrated you to be something. Jeremiah was a prophet. I hope you're getting my point. Not all of us are prophets. But every single person has been specifically ordained to do certain things in the building of this kingdom that is supposed to cover the earth in a particular place. You have to be faithful there before you get authority. I hope you're getting my point. I was gisting with Steve yesterday as we were driving to Abaklik. I was just giving testimonies. How this person has been a blessing to me. This person has been a blessing. God bless me. I just, you know, it's just like a joke. I said, God has blessed me in this city. I said, God has blessed me in this city. I was mentioning names of people that carry my matter on their head. I gave him about 4 names. You know, different people that I show you. Look at what they, up to 5. I'm just remembering the people I mentioned now. Some of them, very, very powerful men. Some of them, you know, when I say powerful, guys that have muscle. You know, muscle. I said, they'll just carry my matter. I was just telling him that this life, there's no need to worry you. There's no need that God will place people there that will help you. And I said, if you get there, they are not helping you. God didn't put your help there. Don't be angry with anybody. I was just talking about it. He now says, sir. Now, the but was not unbelievable. He was trying to give me an explanation. He said, but you have been a blessing to the land. Did you hear that? I said, look, God has been so kind. Say he has placed people here. I was mentioning one after the other, one after the other. Look at how this person has been a blessing. Look at how this person has helped me here. Look at how God has used this person to. I said, in the land. He said, but you have also been a blessing to the land. I said, well, we give God the glory for that, but let me just thank God for what he's doing for me. But that's really, when I was saying, I wasn't thinking of that. It was when he said it, that God said, don't worry. Just sow in the land that I have kept you. To sow in. Be constant in sowing it. Many of the people that I was mentioning, I've never preached to. Yes. In fact, 3 of them, I doubt that they, in fact, one probably heard me on radio one day. I heard you on radio. Oh, you preach on radio. That's all comment I get. Yet, if they hear of my matter, the way they carry it, so it's not as if you sowed into their life. No. He just said, but you sowed in the land. So in that same land, God appointed people and say, you help this guy, you help him, 3 of you, okay, help him. So that I was telling you some things that people will spend money for, May I just go, hello, sir. I think I would like that. Don't worry about it. He writes it down, says, I will fix it. People are making calls day and night. I told him about one big man that if I call him and he misses my call, he will always call back. Always call back. If it's money, he has much more than I have. If his age, he's about 20 years older than me. If his rank, he sat on my application letter. And he joked about it one day. He said, I saw your age. Now, I saw you small. Yeah. If it's influence. I mean, he walks into big people's offices, but there's never a time I call him. He doesn't return the call. Never. And I'm very careful. If I call him, I don't call twice. Like, if I call once, if he doesn't pick, I just leave it. Or if he rings, the number you have called, you know, is busy. I quickly cut it so as not to disturb his call. And he always calls back with an apology. So I said, just relax. God will take care of you his own way. I hope you're getting my point. Why am I saying that's the case? Because of the comment he passed. And they say, oh, but you have been sowing in the land. I said, okay. I give God the glory, sha. Well, he's been good. But that's the message I want to drop. That look, when God keeps you somewhere, please stay there. Don't let anybody use hunger to drive you up and down. The time is coming when God will return with abundant grace upon you in that place. In the place of famine, you will sow in that land. In the same year, you reap 100-fold. Bow down your heads and say, Father, thank you for setting me right. It's very important. Say, Lord, thank you for setting me right.